the OTB Podcast Network.
Hi, Brendan Devaney is with us. Good morning to you, B-Dev. How are you?
Good morning, Jerry. Good.
We're trying to make the case that there are contenders out there, and we would certainly, if there were contenders out there, we would hope that Donegal would be there. But they let us down last year, B-Dev. They let us down.
Yeah. Listen, what can you say? Jerry, we thought these freak results were gone in football, and probably the dismay of neutrals and everybody watching in. The bigger teams just couldn't be beat. I mean, if you look at Ulster, the 10 years previous that Donegal won 5 Ulsters, Tyrone 3 and Monaghan 2, and were by and large every season that was going to be the same. So the blue wave came in, and the Cavan boys upset going getting their 40th title in that. And you're well deserved in the day, Jaron. You're talking about Donegal being contenders. It's for us in Donegal here, it's all about the best 15 on the pitch. And I think when Donegal have their full 15 fit and they're moving well, they can be a match for anybody. But if we lose a few players, you know, even the likes of Steve McMenamin going out in that Ulster final, like our main probably man marker at the back was massive. We ended up starting against Cavan with 3 half forwards and our back 6. And I think there is nice a problem with Donegal. We've been bringing through great midfielders, the likes of Langan, McGee, fellas like he's coming through, and forwards, Niall O'Donnell, the likes of Jamie Brennan, Oisin Gallen. All these types of players are coming through to bolster our midfield and attack, but we're just not unearthing defenders, and that's why the likes of, we have to go back the well, and Neil McGee's going to give it another lash again this year, and the likes of Paddy McGrann, this, we keep going back to the old trusted, but that can't go on forever.
So that's one of the questions that we wanted to ask you. Have there been any significant retirements or additions, or are there any long-term injuries at the moment? Like, obviously, Paddy McBrearty's health over the last couple of years has been something that we were all waiting for him to get over. What's the crack there?
The only news is on people coming in, it would be Oran McNeilish is back training with the boys. And again, an attacking flair player, which... Listen, we'll take Oran all day. He's got, as you've seen many of the time, he's got all the skills in the world and he can field the ball as well. But it's more, there's been a couple of squad players have talked about stepping away. Jared, at the minute, of course, Donegal's just coming back to training. As we know it, there's been plenty of rumours with everybody. But yeah, Donegal's just coming back. So they've obviously got the new training facility in Convoy, the State of Art. So it's top class down there. So the big news was that McNeilish was back in and that the likes of Neil McGee is going to give it another lash, and Paddy McGrann and fellas like that. That's what Donegal's holding on for, is just Kieran Gillespie would probably be the other player. He's had a horrendous time with injuries. He was the one player coming through. He thought he could be a number 3 or a number 6 for us, strong physical player, kind of your old type defender. And I think it's going back just to club football in Donegal. There's so many teams playing blanket defence that defenders aren't asked to be defenders anymore. And what you get then, I think, is a weakening of the defensive pool. And I think our clubs are to blame for that.
Yeah, that's like a really interesting conversation. We've spoken a good bit about that in the past, that the step up then to inter-county level becomes too great for those players to be man markers, and so that player kind of essentially dies out. So it's up to the inter-county management team then to try and graft them on, and then they go back to their clubs and they're expected to be superstars because they're playing for the county. And it's this kind of terrible scenario for the players to be stuck in. On that kind of sense of the team and what they're capable of, in terms of the coaching ticket, it was obviously very high profile over the last number of years. No changes there, still the same?
Yeah, well, Carrie Lacey stepped away, and he had a huge part to play in that, and there doesn't look there's been a replacement. Rochford's still there, obviously, helping Declan Bonner out. Paul McGonigal's there as well. So, those players, those lads in that team of that, and what Lacey was bringing to that was huge. He's very well got. He's taken a role being our underage. He's going to bring through our underage. He's kind of overseeing all the development of our academies and right up to the under-20s. There's a new under-20 manager in as well, and Carl's going to be working with all those lads. So it'll be a loss to the senior team for now, definitely, Jerry, in terms of what he was bringing to it, because, the word coming back from the lads, the squad, a great time for him, and his input, whether it be analysis or in the dressing room, you know, he had a serious presence there. So that's going to be a loss to the Donegal senior team, but it will be a gain to the underage squads that are coming through.
Okay. The draw, I think, if I'm reading it right, they're up against Down in the provisional quarterfinal, and then the winners of that play Derry, and then in the semi-final, is that right? So it's Derry in the semis, yeah, if they get over Down.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
No, Derry in the quarterfinal.
Yeah. And then Derry in the quarters.
And then Tyrone or Cavan in the semi-final. And then if they get to an Ulster final, there's a good chance it'll be Monaghan. Maybe Armagh or Fermanagh. Like,
so this is the hard draw, we would call it.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, just looking across the other draws, I was looking at Cork. We have to play the winners of Limerick and Waterford to be in a Munster final. You know, the difference, you know, if you look at Mayo's route as well, it's... listen, that's Ulster. You look at Division 1 this year, you have four Ulster teams in it, and that's the difference, you know. Even Down, I mean, obviously Down isn't one of those sides. Down will be thinking they can beat Donegal. I mean... Look at the first half performance they did to Cavan in last year's Ulster semi-final. They looked unbelievable, and obviously that just whatever Cavan magic they had last year came back and took them out in the second half. But they have serious potential, and they'll give it a go. And you think about the provincials there and how there's just not much, like Munster, obviously, and Leinster, you know, there's very little excitement. You know, there seems to be an odd game in Connacht, but there you have four Division 1 teams, and that's not even the Donegal Down game. That could be a cracking match. And I'm sure Paddy Talley's going to be thinking, listen, we could take Donegal in their day, and that's by no means a foregone conclusion for Donegal.
They had all that early training done as well, of course.
I can hear the Cork and Tipperary football fans already complaining about you saying that there's no excitement in the Munster Championship, Brendan. But I hear your point. Like, it's a frustrating, though, on a serious note, to see those other provinces that are patently more difficult, or easier, I should say, than Donegal's path to even an All-Ireland semi-final. And even if they do make it to an All-Ireland semi-final, the amount of tough games they'll have in their legs already.
Yeah, certainly. And if you take even from the fact, Owen, that if Donegal do make it to the league final this year, the league final, it won't be played, you know, because Donegal's out in the Ulster Championship the following week. So it'll be a split. They'll give it to the two teams, and that's what's going to happen there. So when you put that into the mix of the time frame, and we know obviously the amount of training and dedication that is doing. If Donegal then are going through energy sapping games week after week after week, should they make it all the way to a semi, they're in a completely different state than teams you kind of planned it. And listen, Owen, you're 100% right. Sorry about that. Tip and Cavan, of course, Munster and Ulster champions playing Division 3. That's a bit amazing. And listen, it's great for football. I think Tip obviously were a great championship team. I just think Cork had fallen so far away. Maybe last year, as I say, showed signs of them coming back to something near competing. I guess it just was a Kerry walkover for so long. So listen, hopefully when that remains the same, that certainly Kerry and Cork and teams like that can come back and compete. We all want to see that, but I just think when you look at Ulster, the amount of minefields, if you like, and games that are in there, it's just such a different championship. And if we're thinking about the pressures that's coming on squads and players as the season goes on, now I know it's not that type of season this season, but you'll think in other seasons, if it goes back to some version of quarters, super eights, whatever they go under, the Ulster teams certainly, you would think, are facing a different path, which is going to handicap them.
Like that Donegal-Tyrone game in the league last year, which was the first game back, like everybody remembers what a phony war that was, because they were due to play each other a few weeks later. That's going to be Donegal and their entire league campaign this year, isn't it? Because it's three Ulster teams they're up against.
Yeah, thrown away first game. And, you know, obviously, the new management there, and after the whole Hart era, you know, I think Tyrone are going to be such a dangerous team. You know, you talk about Donegal and the way we're patched up in our defence, you know, Tyrone don't have that. You know, they have defenders. For me, they definitely have the best squad in Ulster. Now, as I say, that's the thing about Donegal. When Donegal have their full team on, they seem to be able to mix it that bit better with Tyrone. And certainly, you know, obviously his last few seasons have been able to win the important games. And, you know, you just think with the Tyrone firepower, you know, coming back in the play, we've seen McKenna there the last day, McShane back from injury. And you just think we do her and Logan, giving them probably, for me, do you think they're going to give them that bit more of an attacking element that they seem to be held back a bit with Hart, you know? I know in last year's championship, he did seem to open it up and come at Donegal at times. And I think, you know, Donegal couldn't really handle McKenna at times. And if you're trying to handle McKenna and McShane, I mean, that is serious firepower for them. And that's why you would have to think Tyrone getting this championship would be, I don't know, where the favourites for Ulster.
To go back to Donegal, where do you think an improvement can come from last year if they are to... I mean, look, if they come through that and win Ulster, they'll be very battle-hardened. And let's assume that they manage to do that without massive suspensions and injuries. So you'd be in a fairly good state of mind if you did come through Ulster in high summer. But where will the improvements come from? Is it literally just about keeping players fit?
Definitely, Jerry, that's it. I think the pool in Donegal is forward midfield wise is good. If we get a couple of injuries at the back, as I say, you can't start a provincial final with three half backs in your back six, and that's three half forwards in your back six defenders, because particularly in those lads who are fairly light, you know, Yarmid Ryan, Owen McHugh, fellas like this, like it's not their thing to be man marking defenders. Or if you look at it, that ability just back to Tyrone, some of their defenders to stand up, you know, you see it with Menaman, Neil McGee, Paddy McGrath, being able just to stop your man and create that where the ball has to be recycled back and getting people into place to plug up gaps and that. That's the difference in being a defender or someone who's dropping in as a forward can sometimes be exposed with that. And that's why Donegal, I think, once they get the ball and they break the amount of talent they have, you know, we've seen some absolute brilliance, as I say, from the likes of Oisin Gallen and you know, Langan and these fellas, all breaking out with serious pace, you know, Niall O'Donnell. I think there's a lot more to come from him as well. And of course, Paddy McBerty was injured last year, if you remember. And that's a big, was, you know, him in the Ulster final. He didn't seem, you know, himself in terms of what he normally brings. So that injury kind of curtailed what he can bring, because he's a match winner in his day. And of course, Michael Murphy's role this year, you know, last year he was played inside that bit more often. So that's how we manage those players and get the most out of them is vital. But certainly protecting our defence is key for Donegal. And I think as the season rolls on, injuries is the one. And getting the most from the likes of McGrath, McGee and McNeely's coming back in the frame. So it's still Donegal can still mix it with anybody in Ulster. But if you're thinking about the big one, yeah, it'd be difficult.
Last question for you from my perspective. What's the identity of the team? How are they trying to play football?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's playing the same kind of similar type, you know, dropping players back and breaking with pace. I think Declan Bonner certainly brought a bit of flair to Donegal. You know, there's everyone's comfortable on the ball. It certainly is attack first. You've seen that a lot. But tactically then, certain games, particularly with Tyrone and that, you know, Donegal have not wanted to be caught out. They've went defensive at times as well. So it's enjoyable, very enjoyable to watch Donegal, because some of the flair players that they have, some of the young players coming through in an attacking sense, are top drawer. So it's been an exciting time for Donegal. Of course, we almost won three Ulsters in a row. Never happened in our history. Going into last year's final, which would say, you know, the team's in a good place. So I still think there's a lot of positivities going into this year. It's just unfortunate, as I say, where we don't seem to be unearthing the defenders that we need. But certainly I think every Donegal fan has had a brilliant last couple of years. There's not a game that we go on the year we think that we can't win. And I think that's, I suppose, is a great plus point for all us watching on.
Yeah, look, that's all any supporter of any county really wants at this point, particularly given the elephant in the room, the big blue elephant in the room as it is. Brendan, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Good boy. Right, Gerald.
Brendan Domenech giving us some thoughts there on the first of our contenders series. Obviously, we'll be doing Mayo, we'll be doing Tyrone, we'll be doing Kerry. After that, we're going to be struggling, are we? Is there anybody else we can legitimately call contenders?
Well, you can leave the last one off that list anyway. Cork and Tipperary will need to be in there anyway, the front runners to come through in Munster at the moment. And Meath, I'm sure our producer is going to ask us to do a contender slot on Meath.
We were supposed to do the top 12 counties was Tommy's idea. I think he was grandfathering in Meath. Where would, in your gestational power rankings as they are now, the seed is just fertilising the egg as we speak. In your head. It's a nice image. What is Where would Meath be at the moment?
I'm tossing like I've put no thought into it. But let's piss off the Meath fans here straight off the bat. Let's go like 14, 15.
Okay, perfect. 11 minutes past 8 this morning. Our job is done. Packed show still to come here on OTBAM. We're talking rugby with Neil Tracy after 9 o'clock. Irish head athlete Kate O'Connor joins us. Up next, we're talking football with Philippe Auclair.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.